This program contains language that is intended for mature
or immature
audiences. Anyone affiliated with this train wreck of a show assumes no responsibility for its content.
Let's go, Mountaineers! Let's go, Mountaineers! Let's go, Mountaineers! Let's go, Mountaineers!
Ladies and gentlemen, it's time to hide the kids and pop the top on a cold one. Coming to you from the Riverbank Studio in Nitro, West Virginia, please welcome the inebriated cast of Section 304.
Welcome into the Section 304 podcast, or Drinking Beers, Talking Ears. Thanks for checking it out on iTunes, SoundCloud, and at Section304podcast.com. I'm Anthony Lewis in the studio with John Crum, Matt Durrett, Jeremy Yost, and we are in celebration mode. West Virginia takes down the Wolfpack of NC State 44-27 in front of 57,052 people. Can you believe there were that many people there?
Good crowd.
It was a great crowd.
Students filled in.
Did they?
Yep.
Well, they
filled it up. There was still a little bit of room at the top, but for the most part, once things got going,
when did they leave?
Student section half-time. Filled in pretty good.
Halftime.
All right.
It wasn't as bad as the James Madison game, though. We stayed for...
All right. I don't even want to talk about those guys.
It's a dead horse. Get off of it.
Yep, I've been told. But West Virginia is now 6-5 all-time against the Wolfpack of NC State, and that was their 16th straight home win against a non-conference team.
Well, can you also believe that this is like the first time in like 7 years an ACC opponent's been in Mountaineer Field?
Who was the last ACC team?
Would have to have been Maryland.
It was Maryland, yeah.
It's before they
Big
Ten.
Yeah, I always forget. Maybe Virginia Tech.
We haven't played them in Morgantown since 05.
Yeah. But they're coming back. They're coming back. But them West Virginia, with a bounce back win. 44-27. Who saw that coming?
I think I called it.
I called a win.
I thought it'd be close. But if judging off what you saw offensively, the first 2 weeks, the offense did not look great. Yesterday, they added some new stuff in. You had essentially, it looks like, the emergence of a new superstar at wide receiver for the Mountaineers, and he wasn't just doing it from the receiver position. He got his hands on the ball in the backfield and had a lot of other things going for him, too, with Sam James. The run game finally got going a little bit. Somebody told me after the game, they were like, I didn't think we'd score 44 points the rest of the year. It was a joke, obviously, but
you, I don't know, man. Some of our fans have been really down on the squad.
Well, it's rough to fans, it's rough quotes. To watch the lack of production, I guess you could say, on offense. But either way you look at it, you got the win against James Madison. Missouri's a very good team with a very good quarterback. I don't think a lot of people expected us to win that one. This one, I think people thought we had a chance, and it would be a very close contest and kind of up for grabs in the fourth. And our offense just showed up yesterday. I mean, we ran the ball at a really good pace with two guys averaging over 5 yards a pop. So anytime you can run the ball and you're throwing the ball, he threw the ball really well yesterday with the exception of the nasty pick that he threw.
But he got hit. He got his legs taken out on that one. Not that it was Brown even said in his presser that he shouldn't have thrown the ball. It wasn't even where he should have been reading. But
it happens.
That being said, I mean, he got his legs taken out as he was throwing.
Finished the day 27-40.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had a nice run. He showed that he's
25-yarder.
Yeah, he showed that he's not absolutely cinder block footed. He had a nice run. He had a hell of a fucking block on the Sam James run. Sean Ryan threw the ball to the double pass, and then Ryan came back to
I
the left.
I called that the delay reverse.
He had a he had a hellacious block out there.
Yeah, good.
And that's good to see your quarterback.
The story of the game to me is the offensive line.
Absolutely.
If you would have told me that Sills and Mike Brown weren't going to play – because one was sick, the other was injured. And all offseason we heard we barely have 8 guys, maybe not even 8. So they plugged in a bunch of guys, worked them, shuffled them in, and they played their asses off.
Well, I mean, let's be honest. It came down to they finally answered the coach's call. Matt Moore's, Coach Brown's. It was about time. I mean, you can only hear you're soft for so long. You can only hear that you're not this, you're not that, that you're the reason for things not progressing before someone gets a fire under their ass. And one of those people was Mays. And if going into Kansas week, I'd be surprised if Mike Brown's got a starting position after the way Bronson Mays has played. I mean, he played.
Do you switch the line back?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
I'd say you put Josh Seals back in there, but other than that.
To me, offensive line is more about chemistry because they have to do assignments. And they said McKivitz told the O-line coach that Mays made all the right calls. He was doing everything right. And, I mean, it was a completely different look. I didn't see the just surge of defensive linemen in the backfield like we've seen the last 2 weeks.
Yeah, I mean, after you go with the first 2 weeks of doing nothing with your run game, you have a couple of guys sit out, and it looks like the offensive line comes together, and you have two guys getting over 5 and 6 yards a pop. Now, granted, they weren't – it's not like McCoy had 20 carries and was getting 6 yards a pop, but he had 10 carries for 66, and then Letty had, what,
7 for 35.
There you go. So it's not like they're carrying the ball a ton, but the fact that you now have that and you can hand the ball off 17 times and you're getting over 5 yards a pop.
But as a committee, it was 28 for 179,
right,
which I'll take.
Well, also, they closed the game out.
Yeah,
right.
We took the air out of the ball in the fourth quarter, and we were able to grind the clock and made a 3-point game, a 17-point win.
So since we're talking about closing out the game, how confused was everyone when we did not kick that extra point?
All right, so to address that,
yeah,
that was something I was going to talk about later. So what happened was, and we were confused even when it happened, to the point where I had to text somebody. It was like, what, you know, instantly, like, what the hell was that? First of all, have you ever seen that before?
No.
I've never seen that
ever
before. So you guys know what happened?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
So for the listeners, because there's still people out there questioning, so what that meant was, were they down the knee, they kept the 3-possession lead. Had NC State blocked the extra point, ran it back, it would have become a 2-possession lead, mm-hmm, at 16 points. So, I mean, with 3 minutes, anything can happen. He was kind of just being very safe, which, hey, it's West Virginia. Anything can happen. I saw Tremaine Mack come off a corner and,
well, absolutely. Well,
and take a game from us one time. So anything can happen, and he was just playing it safe. But that's what that was all about. I've never seen it happen that way before, though.
Never have.
My dad was watching the game overseas and texted me and goes, huh, Neil Brown's using math. I was like, because I'm still dumbfounded saying, what the hell did we just do? And then that's when he texted me. He said, block field goal, return back, yada, yada, yada. Two possession where Brown's saying, hey, we're not even giving it a shot.
Yeah.
Bang, three possessions, you ain't going to do it.
So it's interesting, yeah. We have a coach on the sideline that actually thinks a little bit.
It's different.
It's a little different. You know what, though? I thought in the fourth quarter when we got the ball back up 11 and we went 3 and out, basically, we got a holding penalty and we kept running the ball even though it was 1st and 20. We were grinding clock and we were setting up to punt. And I'm not going to take shots at Holgorsen anymore. I think we've done that the first 2 weeks enough. But, and this even goes back to Rich Rod. I mean, our MO the last 15, 20 years has been to outscore everyone.
Gun it,
you know, score. And he completely set that up to punt and pin them.
Special teams look good.
The special teams were incredible.
Man, we pinned them 2 or 3 times.
I'm loving that kicker.
We completely controlled the field position.
They won all 3 phases of that game yesterday.
The thing they did.
I really, really enjoyed, and I'm obviously very biased towards McCoy in the backfield, but when he got that run in the first half, and instead of diving into the end zone, he trucked, dude.
Yep.
He waited and got that contact and laid that lumber and stepped over him to get into the end zone. I love seeing that.
I think this was more of a statement game for not just for the team, but for the fans and everyone else. It's kind of like where we talked last show. Do you trust the climb? And then these players are showing, look, here's why you need to trust it. Here's what we're trying to do. We're trying to put a product out there that is fun, that is exciting, that is wanting to win. You ride with us, we're going to ride with you. And you got to see it in the way some of those players played, such as McCoy, Mays.
They got
Letty
called
Brown,
out all week,
Sean
man.
James.
Yeah. The low part of the first half, actually, hell, the first quarter, they got to figure something out with this targeting. That call that threw him out is almost identical to this another number four against Virginia Tech, leveling right. that tight end. He's just smaller than the guy he hit yesterday.
He probably could have avoided him. And I'm playing,
but
I'm playing devil's advocate.
I don't think he launched. Even on the replay, it doesn't appear that
he
launched.
He led with his shoulder, but their helmets actually hit first. Even if you lead with your shoulder, when your natural instinct is to kind of lean, and they hit helmet to helmet.
Here's my gripe, though.
I didn't like the call.
Norwood gets thrown out of the game, which I guess that's the rule.
Yep.
However, later on in the game, NC State's one of their defenders hits our guy way after the play out of bounds, and he just gets a personal foul. To me, that was much more of a cheap shot, much dirtier, more of what you want out of the game.
Exactly.
Right. It's intent, and there you can't – well, he just gets a 15-yard penalty. Norwood's out of the game.
Right. I mean, Norwood, if you watch, Norwood starts to let up. I mean, it was like an object of motion stays in motion. I mean, he was still going, but he didn't drill him.
Yeah, but at some point, too, Norwood has to protect himself.
Right.
They're both coming full speed ahead. So, but you can say Norwood could have seen and let up, and maybe he does let up, but at some point he has to protect himself, too. And like you were saying, your natural ability in that situation, you're set to absorb that. The blow, and then he hit the guy, but he's smaller than that guy. It's not as if he launched himself.
Well, but if we're cleaning the game up and we're getting dirty hits and stuff out, why do you not get ejected for something like that?
Absolutely.
Great question.
Well, the Washington call, which could have been detrimental.
Yeah.
But,
that was
I'm glad they used their head.
Right.
That one was trash. I mean, okay, that dude's down, whatever, but that was – if they would have tossed him,
place
would have went absolutely apeshit.
Like Brown said, how do you coach that? He said, you can't. He said, so what do you want me to do, tell my guy to let the guy run him over? So he decides not to slide.
Yeah, what if he decides not to slide?
And he trucks him. So,
let's talk about the halftime adjustments by Vic Koning.
Yeah.
For the third game in a row.
Thank you. I was going to say, let's set it up by looking at the scope of what is happening.
The Missouri game was over at half, but we played much better on defense against them.
It's refreshing to see a team come out and make adjustments to go with the second half of play and change to what you saw in the first half. With NC State, you didn't have a whole lot to look at because they played two tool bag teams, and you know the big thing was their defense is so great. They've only allowed 49 yards,
seen
no
that
rushing
defense
touchdowns, and
yeah,
this, that, and the other. So you didn't have a whole lot of tape to go on, and you know we came out, and I was happy with the way they took care of business yesterday.
But Kendall throws a interception, and the momentum of the game flips. It's teetering. Defense comes out 3-and-out. They have to settle for a field goal. I mean, that we just haven't seen that in a while. Like leaning on a defense and expecting them to go out and stop people, it's been a while.
It's been a very
long
time.
It's refreshing.
Back to the Norwood thing, kudos to Kerry Martin.
That's what I was getting ready to say.
He came in and played big. He gave up that touchdown, but he didn't get down on himself. And he came. He played. He ended up, I think he was the second leading tackler in the game.
5 solos, 5 tackles.
To be thrown in that position when you were a quarterback in high school.
Yeah, and he's not the only true freshman that played. Jordan Jefferson started. Tyke Smith played.
We've played 6 true freshmen so far this year.
And then on offense you had Winston Wright and your buddy, Ollie Jennings. He even had a touchdown.
Hey, Ollie. I told y'all, man.
He's going to play these young guys. He wants to get these guys in. Of course, they want to win, but even if – win or lose, these guys are going to get experience because next year you need experienced guys to make that next step in what your program is supposed to do.
Well, he was saying after the game, you know, they were going to try to use the redshirt rule, play these guys, you know, 3 or 4 games and then shut them down or pick and choose when to use them. But some of those guys need to be playing.
I don't know that you're
a lot of snaps. You don't need to redshirt them.
I don't think you're going to see
Wright and Jennings get a red shirt because they – Jennings was big in the second half, and if you're looking at it and you're watching the productivity yesterday, they both seem to be a bit more shorthanded than TJ at this point in time. And I think TJ may be the one to lose some snaps with those two guys coming on yesterday.
I'll tell you who's going to lose some snaps. Tevin Bush.
Well, he was suspended yesterday.
Yeah, but, I mean, sorry, pal. Well, shouldn't have got suspended.
Look up
Wally Pipp.
You know, one of the things that's interesting to me is Coach Brown didn't like his play, clearly has had multiple conversations with him. They don't just sit in the film rooms and play Uno.
Mm-hmm.
They've talked to this kid. And here's the thing. His reaction to the demotion probably led to a suspension. I mean, I'm just guessing, speculating, but that is the scientific formula for a suspension in that case. He clearly just didn't like his demotion and probably was half-assed and probably said something, and I'm guessing, probably said something in practice or something crazy, which led to a suspension, but it worked out well.
At receiver or tailback on this team, you probably shouldn't be saying anything to anyone because both of those positions are pretty deep and they can do without you.
And that just shows me he doesn't want to be challenged.
I mean, if you look, like Crum and I were talking, I think it was Crum. I believe it was Crum. All George Campbell does is catch touchdowns.
Yep.
I think he's got two catches on the year. They're both
three
touchdowns.
I think he has four total, but three out of the four touchdowns.
And there you go. And then Sam James was just a fucking monster yesterday.
When's the last time you saw like a young receiver just come on the scene?
Stedman Bailey.
Reminded me of like a Chris Henry day.
Nine catches for like a buck 55 yesterday. And I think he had a couple that he dropped or he would have been in the double-digit catches for the day.
You saw why the coaches are so high on him. They keep talking about his ceiling. I don't know what that is yet, but, man, he's talented. Winston Wright, even though he didn't have a big play or anything, he has wheels. He has serious wheels.
They ran that Tavon touch pass, shovel pass.
I want to see more from him because he looks really quick.
Both of those young guys, I think I told you guys when we landed them, both those young guys I expected to play this year wide receiver. They weren't coming here to sit. And that was very apparent by just the way that they – which everything now is social media. If you followed them on the social media, they had no intentions of coming here to sit for a year.
Hey, we've bashed Dana, but Dana could find wide receivers. Those are all his
and,
guys.
Well, and those there was some talk when the coaching switch happened that Ollie may go elsewhere, but Brown and his guys got on that and secured that commitment. And it's a very good thing because I think he's got a pretty bright future here. I've been pretty high on him just from watching his high school tapes and you know what I've read about him. And it was good to see him get out there yesterday, get his first collegiate touchdown. It was a nice catch, too.
It was a nice catch.
A little slant.
Yeah.
A little slant in
the
end zone.
You know, a game like that can kind of make or break your season. You lose yesterday, you fall to 1-2. At Kansas, you start questioning things. Now we're in a good position where we could potentially go to Kansas and pick up that third win. And the goal, let's just face it, the goal for this year is to go to a bowl, even if it's the El Dorado Bowl at Laidley Field or right down here at Crawford Field. The goal is to go to a bowl game. So to get that win was a big turn for the team. And shout out to Dante Stills.
Both those brothers.
Both those guys were just getting it yesterday. Which back on the defensive thing, which just it's good to see. You haven't seen that type of motor from a D-line in quite a while. But it's a different scheme.
I was talking to my buddy after the game, and I was like, what does Stills look like on TV? He goes, man, he looks like a dude who should be playing in the SEC.
Yeah.
Here's the crazy thing. Remember, they didn't even want to give Darius a ride.
Right. Dana
like, that was
supposed
that
to be
was,
like a package.
Yeah, that was out the door until he committed to Rutgers, and then it's like, oh, well, shit, we definitely want his brother here next year, and then you have his dad come out and say, well, Dante's more talented, but Darius is going to be the one because he wants it more.
Right.
So both of them are just monsters in the backfield, and they're making a lot of plays, and it's refreshing to see.
And it doesn't look like either one of them ever take a playoff. Like it seems
they got
like
that
they're
Chris Neild motor,
right? Just I mean I'm going to
that's who they kind of remind me of. Just
I'm
going to
get in there, and finally that big hit on NC State's quarterback, yes. That rocked him.
Oh,
I was
yeah.
like,
yeah.
Tell me that did not remind you of Gary, especially him stand kind of looking over him and then getting up and was like, you know, yeah, boy.
Those boys can play.
So you guys went to the game yesterday.
Yeah.
And before we take a break, how about the North Carolina State band at halftime?
Sweet.
I missed
Caroline
that. I was in shit pit. Concourse.
It was hot yesterday.
It was hot.
It instantly went viral yesterday, of course.
I'm sitting there and all of a sudden I hear, no, they're not. They're really not going to do this, are they? And then I was like, oh, yes, they are.
It's a very common song in the Carolinas. So
they probably knew what they were doing.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think they probably play it every week, truth be known.
They had a little nice little group of fans, too.
Yeah. They were.
Well, that's not a far drive from Raleigh up here. And I mean,
first time in Morgantown since who knows when.
I can't remember. They said it the other night.
Probably
since
the 70s.
It was early, early.
The fan base was all right.
They seemed to be enjoying themselves, too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. They all, after the game, you know, hey, thanks for having us. Great time. Enjoyed it.
It's hard to go somewhere and raise hell.
Well, there's no, it's not like
a rivalry.
Yeah. Like, we don't have that shit with anybody really in the Big 12. Like, I don't think anybody's looking to throw down in the blue lot anymore. We're all kind of old for that. But, you know, even like with Pitt and Tech, those are the fans. Those are the people you hate.
Right.
But with these guys, like, I don't give a shit. Texas is here. Big deal.
Yeah. I'm not going to lie. During that game, even a little bit before, I was like, we should be in the ACC.
We should be playing these guys. Every year.
Yeah, we should be.
We should definitely be in the ACC, but our academics weren't up to par, but somehow North Carolina is still there. Figure that one out.
Well, they cheated.
Well, I guess we weren't cheating good enough. Well, we got caught.
I mean, if the game last year with them does not get canceled, how many Mountaineer fans are in Raleigh?
Tons.
I'm thinking like 6,000 to 8,000.
Easy.
They probably only had 3,000 or 4,000 fans.
Because how many West Virginians live in the Charlotte?
Right.
In North Carolina?
Even Raw, yeah. The what do they call that? The Triangle.
Yeah,
even
Raleigh, that Durham.
I don't know.
Greer was back in the house yesterday.
Yep. Saw that.
He had a football camp Friday.
His beard is getting there.
Yeah, he's. I don't understand what he's wearing sleeves down there for. It's fucking 95. Stop it. Like, why are you wearing sleeves? And can we stop with everybody doing the horns down thing unless Texas is here?
Well, with Greer, though, that's kind of his.
Yeah, but people are going into, like, grocery stores, and they see a Texas koozie, and they're flipping them upside down.
Someone has a flag
shit.
In the blue lot with a horn.
Yeah, let's down. Stop. Stop.
I'm with you, bud. Until they come in here this year.
Yeah, until Texas is here.
Ooh, I don't know now. I'm feeling pretty good now.
Everybody,
we might go 11-1.
11-1.
Everybody in their pictures, they all do this shit. It's like, you know what? We're playing NC State. Why are you showing me horns down in your face? Nobody cares. Like, we're not rivals with Texas. We've beaten Texas 2 or 3 times. Stop. T-shirts being worn for the Gold Rush, horns down. I hate that shit. I hate it.
Hey, before we take a break real quick, congratulations to Coach Dunlap and John Thornton.
Absolutely.
Those guys made the Hall of Fame.
Freaking Thornton looks
like
you
talk about the Dunlap.
I thought you were talking about the Dunlap. I was like, wait, he's coaching now. He's coaching. He's trying to coach my nephew yesterday, sitting 4 rows behind me. But
old Thunder and John Thornton look like he could still play.
I saw a picture of Jalen on. I guess they were down there greeting Gibby before the game, and
I think a lot of guys on our team really love and respect that guy.
He got a pretty big greeting before the game. It is what it is, man. With new management,
I love what Koenig said. The press was walking on eggshells about bringing him up, and he was like, "He's not Voldemort. You can say his name."
Yeah.
No, I mean, you know, it is what it is, and that's the business.
Yeah, it's a business, man. Those guys float around,
and who knows? He could be back in 3 years. You just never know with the coaching carousel, the way that works, and the way guys are shuffled around, and you just never know.
But yesterday, overall, I think everyone wanted to see how we responded to getting our ass kicked and the coaches really challenging them all week. And I like what I saw, man.
They responded well.
That was a very, very powerful response. So I still think we're like a 4 or 5 win team, and we're playing a lot of freshmen, and that's not going to be good in the league.
But you might be a 4 or 5 win team that's competitive every week.
Yeah, but you can start to see we're setting the foundation for being really good.
And
in
if, you're into,
years.
If you're into what's that called? Like when you don't get a win, but you
moral victories.
Yeah, if you're into that shit, this team will probably give you those.
Yeah,
but hey, you forgot to mention Meg Bulger, bro. She still looks good.
My wife.
And she's in the Hall of Fame, too. Don't leave her out.
Well,
don't
there's a lot of them in the Hall of Fame.
All three of them are in the Hall of Fame. That's
your
gut? That's amazing.
No. What was that noise?
I it's upstairs.
Oh.
The first family, the Bulger family.
I am hungry, though.
Uh-huh.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, we'll talk about some other games around the country, some Big 12 games, and also
Kansas looked good.
Kansas with the big win. We'll talk
puka,
about that.
Puka, puka.
After this.
We'll be right back after this
word, 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 word.
Son of a bitch!
A legal issue involving your family can turn your world upside down. When you need knowledge, service, and dedication, turn to the legal professionals at Hardy Pence PLLC. With more than 100 years of trusted legal advocacy, Hardy Pence will guide you through child custody, divorce, guardianship, and domestic violence support. Working through complex family matters can be challenging, and the law can be confusing. This is why our attorneys are determined to offer honest, trustworthy legal advice to better serve your situation. Call 304-605-2026 for a consultation or visit hardypence.com.
It's the start of fall and football here at Tony the Tailor. No one in the Mid-Atlantic does men's clothing like Tony the Tailor. Best selection of quality sportswear from Johnny O and Brax. Huge shoe department featuring Cole Haan, Donald Pliner, and DiBianco. Jackets and suits from Hickey Freeman, Samuelson, and Talia. And of course, free alterations by Master Tailors. Tony the Tailor, 822 Virginia Street, downtown Charleston. 304-833-9403 or online at bestmastertailor.com.
When your heating and cooling system needs service, turn to Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning. They've been delivering quality service in West Virginia since 1980. No matter the make or model, Francisco Heating and Cooling can make sure your unit is back in service in no time. And their work is guaranteed. Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning is fully licensed and insured and is a certified train dealer. And remember, it's hard to stop a train. Find them on Facebook or call 304-542-1895. Catch the Mountaineers in comfort with Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning. When your heating and cooling system needs service, turn to Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning. They've been delivering quality service in West Virginia since 1980. No matter the make or model, Francisco Heating and Cooling can make sure your unit is back in service in no time. And their work is guaranteed. Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning is fully licensed and insured and is a certified train dealer. And remember, it's hard to stop a train. Find them on Facebook or call 304-542-1895. Catch the Mountaineers in comfort with Francisco Heating and Air Conditioning.
You want to sit in your cubicle for an hour and pretend to be happy? Come on! Swivel your sad excuse for a swivel chair over to B-Dubs and enjoy a real happy hour. Get deals like $2 Bud Light and Coors Light drafts, $3 select premium shots, $5 loaded nachos, and all the games you can watch. So get here and get happy. Buffalo Wild Wings. Roar!
At participating locations, dine-in only. Hours of availability may vary by location. Other limitations may apply where required by law. Must be 21 or older. Void where prohibited.
Hey, Vinny, you guys got dates besides Gilbert?
I do. Yeah, but that's with a guy.
What about you, Booger?
I've been out combing the high schools all day.
Welcome back to the Section 304 podcast, drinking beers, talking ears. We're celebrating a big win over the Wolfpack of NC State. Thanks for checking out the show on iTunes, SoundCloud, and at Section304podcast.com. Other games around the Big 12 yesterday. Actually, the Big 12 action started Friday night, I believe.
And Kansas and BC.
Kansas, BC.
And who in the hell saw that coming?
Not me, because BC is decent. Well, I thought
not me, because when I saw the line was BC plus 20 and a half, I was like, I'm going to stay away from it.
Lock this one in.
Well, no, I said, I'm going to stay away from it. I said, because those are games you get screwed bad on. I said, but BC's going to hammer Kansas.
I'm so pissed at Maryland. Maryland cost me a 5-team parlay. I thought that was the lock. They're a 7-point favorite, man. Did you see what they did last week?
They set everybody up. They were believing the hype.
Yeah, you're right.
They had hammered a couple of teams the first 2 weeks.
Actually, no. How bad did Syracuse end up getting beat?
I didn't watch.
I think
Syracuse
41-6.
I watched that game.
It wasn't all Maryland's fault.
Syracuse had every chance to stay in that game, and they made mistakes.
It looked like, speaking of a team that got their uniforms right, that looked like old school Syracuse. The dome was rowdy. It's been a while since we've seen that.
They said it was the first sellout since McNabb was there.
I mean, that was one of the hardest places we played, in my opinion.
That place was a dump. It was 200 degrees in there. I blacked out in there one time, and it wasn't from drinking. It was due to heat. We were sitting under the underhang that first game when we played them on Memorial Day or whatever. And I'm not going to say that I hadn't had beers, but I'd had the beers the night before. The day of that game, I was in recovery mode from the falls to the dome. And we got in there, and, dude, it was so hot in that place. That place is a shithole.
Considering it's named after an air conditioning company,
it's an absolute dump. However, that is home to one of the greatest sporting events I've ever seen when we took Kentucky to task and eliminated them. That's where it happened.
That's right.
I had a lot of beers that game, but I wasn't under the underhang. I was about 14 rows off the court going ape shit. That was awesome. But the dome itself is a dump. If you've never been, don't waste your time going. It's horrible.
Other games around the Big 12, Texas beat Rice. Oklahoma State over Tulsa.
Texas is back.
How about K-State yesterday?
I didn't see.
The league had a good weekend.
Yeah, they beat Mississippi State yesterday. Looks like they were 31-24. It was a pretty good ball game. We watched most of that.
TCU beat Purdue.
Iowa State should have won. Iowa State should have beat Iowa last night.
Yeah, they had a hellacious delay. They had that Marshall-esque weather delay.
Two of them. They had one for like an hour and one for like 2.5.
Yeah, they were having some trouble.
They finished that game early this morning. Huh?
It looks like Texas Tech is garbage. So I think we can.
Well, they lost their golden god. You can't go to the promised land without Cliff. They lost the man. They lost him.
Cliff's undefeated in the NFL.
Well, he's tied. He's tied.
Overall, good weekend for the league.
You can't expect them just to bounce back when you lose a coach that's the level of Kingsbury.
Ron Gosling.
I mean, the guy celebrated.
Hey, Jalen Hurts went nuts last night, by the way.
Shocking. Yeah, he did. He's a great fucking quarterback. God. Beast.
Yeah.
They're going to eat our lunch. Yeah. I'm going to call that right now, and I don't give a fuck what anybody says. Jalen Hurts is going to eat our lunch
in Oklahoma. They were trying to schedule something for work on a Saturday, and it's that day. And at first I was like, you know, fuck that. I'm not coming in to do something. We play Oklahoma. Then I've seen them play the last few weeks. Yeah. I'm like, won't be much to
miss. You didn't realize when you saw that ESPN commercial with Hurts squatting about six bills that he may do some damage to us. You didn't realize that when you were watching him at Bama.
They're good.
They're very good.
Kentucky blew one last night, man.
Yeah.
God. They should have won. Knocked their quarterback out.
I was going to say, did you get to see Filippo Frank's injury? Dislocated his ankle.
No, thanks.
I think they said the kid
was gruesome.
They said the kid was 395 pounds and rolled up, and the way he rolled up on his ankle.
Why would you want to see that? That's like you asking me if I want to see a replay of Paul George breaking his leg on the backboard at the FIBA shit.
You want to see a replay of Namath breaking his, too?
No.
That was Theismann.
Theismann. Sorry.
I'm good on that, too. That's pretty gross.
Yeah, I don't want to see any of that shit.
There's something about leg injuries. I watch like combat footage of people getting blown up, and it doesn't bother me, but seeing someone get their leg snapped really turns my stomach.
Watch someone jam a grenade in your mouth and pop your fucking head off, but try to get him to watch that guy's ankle snap.
No, I'm like that too.
I can't do that, and I don't like – I can watch a surgery, but yeah. I don't like to watch the incision.
That doesn't bother me, but I mean
– it's something about the skin breaking.
If I see a skateboard video, I immediately turn it off because I know what's going to happen. Some guy's going to snap his leg.
Sometimes they rack themselves.
Yeah.
You never know. You could be missing out. A classic nut shot is always hilarious to me. There's nothing better than somebody trying to hop some stairs and they land on that rail instead. Fucking nuts first. That's hilarious. I will watch replays of that. You shouldn't be trying to hop them stairs anyway.
But the league in general had a great day yesterday. There were some good ball games. I don't know why the Clemson-Syracuse game was the primetime game.
Because Trevor Lawrence.
They beat him 2 years ago and played him. I believe they played him pretty tough last year.
So it was supposed to be like a setup.
And I don't think they were expecting Syracuse to get blown out by Maryland either when they scheduled that game.
No.
Yeah, they do that a couple weeks in advance.
Didn't Clemson put that away, though, with like he probably should have kneeled on it, and instead they ran it up the gut, burst one like 55 yards for a touchdown.
They were letting their backups play. They had some. They've got some true freshman receivers that are really good.
Yeah, they're Clemson. They've won a couple national titles. That's amazing. What a fucking natty will do for you in the recruiting front, isn't it?
Yeah, they've got a kid out of out of South Florida. Right.
Doesn't hurt to pay players either.
You bring that 17-year-old in and let him hold that national championship trophy, and then take his picture with it, and say this could be you.
Let him see the ring.
Yeah. You say, oh, by the way, our quarterback's a true freshman. He'll be here for another year or two. He could be throwing you the ball.
So, after 3 weeks, what do you all think about our chances in the league? Because I think we'll win on Saturday. I think we'll beat Kansas. I think we'll beat Texas Tech. Iowa State, I think they're overrated. I think that's a possible win.
They're at home.
They're at home. Okay. And then I've not seen TCU this year, but.
So what are you rearranging your thoughts on?
I'm still thinking 4 or 5 wins, but I don't know. There's some games.
What about Baylor?
Is it possible that you've allowed yesterday's victory to get you on a hype train that may lead you into saying some idiotic things here?
No, but what will lead me to saying something stupid is the fact that we're making adjustments. Yesterday I thought Kendall, he made 2 great checks early in the game where he audibled and they came on a blitz and he hit the receiver, cut the receiver short, and he went across the middle. And then the touchdown read, he looked left, looked in the center, went right on the slant, touchdown. His feet stayed still. He didn't panic. Well, great mechanics.
Let me ask you.
Those are the things that I see that make me think that we're getting better.
How bad is NC State?
They're not that good. They're young too. They're kind of like us.
So that's what I'm saying. Like you take that yesterday and you look at us putting up those points, and you see that NC State coming in and had the 2 wins, and their defense hadn't given up a lot, but they hadn't played anybody. So you look at it as we beat an NC State team that was 2-0, the ACC. They're not a pushover, and it's not that.
It's the adjustments that I liked, and it was Kendall looked like the game was slowing down.
How about that pass Kendall threw? The timing.
He threw 40 of them. Which
damn it, I'm going to smack him tonight.
On the sideline?
Right.
Yes, that was a great route by the receiver.
Right,
too.
And the timing, I mean, you can see where they're in sync.
Yeah, it's getting a lot crisper.
And it just, but I'll tell you, the one that I've expected more out of that hasn't happened has been T.J. Simmons. Simmons has been quiet. Yeah. Simmons, I mean.
They've been calling him out a little bit, too.
I think he blocked well yesterday.
He blocked well, but I'm talking
like
he's
might not want to be too quiet. There's a couple of guys sitting there waiting to take those reps. I still wouldn't mind seeing Trey or Doggy or however you say his name.
Daggy.
Point in that game yesterday, did I think?
No, not yesterday, but I'm saying I wouldn't mind seeing it.
Oh, you're going to
You're
see
going
it.
To. I mean, you got to have a backup at some point, right? I mean, like. Just in case, so you gotta get these guys some reps. And
well, after the game, Brown said that Kendall really, and he's the guy. You're not going to see Lowe unless someone gets hurt.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not. Don't take me saying that as me saying that I don't like this kid. He played really well yesterday. He looked good. I have no issue with that. Many had said he hadn't really played any meaningful football since high school, which is probably true. But I expected a little more out of him, I guess, in the first couple of games. But I'm not saying anything negative towards him. I think he's improved every game, and that's fine. But just me as a curious fan, I would like to know what's sitting behind him just in case.
I can't remember his name though, but we got that. We had that 4-star recruit in this weekend too, quarterback. I think from Florida.
The kid from Florida who's already committed.
Mm-hmm. I think he made his official visit.
Interesting.
Brandon, is it Green?
I think I can't remember.
Yes.
You know I don't follow recruiting. Yes. So. Yeah.
The basketball team had a couple of.
Yeah, we had a 5-star forward from Huntington Prep.
Yeah, he's at Prep now, and he was supposed to bring that Brakefield kid up with him.
Yeah,
who's also at Prep and is also a 5-star.
Cultural and Brakefield,
who Huggins is very high on. I'm gonna have to go watch Prep this year. Bottom line,
did anybody just slide him some money while they were here?
I mean, I would have.
Fuck it, everybody if I had else any. Cheating.
If you ain't Crumb left the duffel bag at home. I had Cottrell stop by the tailgate, and Crumb dropped the fucking bag. He didn't bring the bag.
Bring the bag, Crumb. Bring the bag.
Crumb, secure the bag. Cottrell's coming to the tailgate.
Hey, Crumb, I've got to bring something up. So, Sheffy was listening to the show and texted me and said, Crumb left the Louisville game early.
I did.
Hold on. He said, I'm unsubscribing if you guys don't punish him. War crimes can and are tried years after the peace treaties are signed. Public humiliation is the best form of punishment for crimes like this. Do a viewer challenge, and the viewer who comes up with the best punishment gets a T-shirt or something like that.
Talking about the triple overtime?
Yeah.
I left the stadium. I was in the parking lot, though.
Oh. So
we've I came talked back about in for this. Overtime.
I know.
We've talked about this. I'm very superstitious. I left, and I went out, and we're standing by a dumpster fire. Some are hammering down on the beers, and Downey said, should we go back in? I said, not a shot. They weren't winning when we were in there.
We got to stay out
here. We're standing by this dumpster fire. We've caught fire. We stay out here. We pound these beers until the game is over. We can't go back in. If they weren't winning when you were in there and you left and they start coming back, stay where you're at. Superstition. I do not need to be tried for war crimes because I'm superstitious. I agree that Crumb should be tried, and I love the way he's thought that out. I think we should do that right away.
Send me to the Hague.
Yeah.
We'll figure it out. The Wheel of Punishment is the DP show has.
Another texter, Damien from Pittsburgh, texted in this morning and says, do you guys remember a bounce-back game like this in the past decade? And I know of one specific, but...
In the past decade?
Yeah, you talked about it last week.
I don't remember what I had for lunch on Friday.
We got our ass whipped by Maryland and turned around and beat Oklahoma State.
That's what that's what I was getting ready to say.
Bounce-back.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah,
I'm thinking... even though we mentioned moral victories, the Miami game in 03 was a sign of things to come. The infamous Quincy Wilson run, even though we lost.
The pass.
The pass that was called the run. And
it's a confusing play.
Wasn't that, who was that? Was that Winslow? They hung that up there too, that ball?
Yeah.
Yes.
On 4th-and-18.
Yeah.
And that was fucking Brock Berlin. God, what a piece of shit, man. Fucking get beat by that loser. That's like fucking Tate Martell hanging one on you at this point in time. Like, Berlin is Tate Martell.
I don't know. I mean, it's been a while, a bounce back like that. But the Oklahoma State game would definitely qualify, even though we didn't really do much after that, besides get blown out by Baylor. I still have nightmares from that game because they could have put 100 on us.
Yeah, that one was – they got out quick. What was that running back they had? God, he was just up and down the sidelines on our ass. He didn't do anything in the pros. Also another Brock Berlin, but – neither here nor there, is it?
No.
What do you guys think? This is kind of off. It's not off topic of football. California passing that law.
I think
we can do a whole segment. Go ahead.
Go ahead.
You're getting in shaky ground, and I'm going to agree with kind of what Tebow said. The NCAA needs to step in now. Is what needs to happen. The NCAA needs to step in and say, look, here's how we're going to regulate it, because if not, fair pay to play. You're going to start getting like the NFL, the ones that can fork up the most money, the ones that can give you the most gimme is who's going to get these players. And we're getting into a very dicey situation with certain states saying, yeah, we can pay you because I think South Carolina just amended theirs. So
I'm going to make this real simple, and then we can even just leave it at this, even if you want. Title IX. That's all I got to say.
You're right.
Right.
Title IX is the issue.
Because you got to spend the same amount of money on marketing women's volleyball as you do football.
Right.
So it is – or it's actually – it's sort of like that. And also, too, just with West Virginia University's athletic department is a self-contained entity. they pay, they literally write checks for the student athletes to the school. So they pay for their scholarships. So you can't go and say Javon Carter makes more than this. We're going to pay, give him more benefits than the starting guard on the women's basketball team.
Well, I'm thinking this is more like if you sell Javon Carter jerseys, he gets a cut.
That's what this is about. It's about the your image on games. Like
this O'Bannon. This has happened before, though. You guys remember Jeremy Bloom for Colorado?
Yeah.
He was a punt returner receiver for Colorado, and he was also a Olympic skier, and he wanted to play both. But where he had sponsors in skiing that were paying him money, the NCAA said, no, you're not an amateur. So you're ineligible, and he didn't get to play anymore.
Well,
and then now all of a sudden Milan wants to sponsor, you know, some kid, you know, promises to sponsor some kid before he even shows up on campus, and now it just opens up too many. Do they need to make adjustments to their these students' lifestyles? And then yes. They need to make sure these kids aren't starving, which they've done a better job at. There was a time 20 years ago these guys were, you know.
Do you believe the one that comes to mind for me is Shabazz Napier with UConn?
Right.
When he said he wasn't sure where he was going to eat, this, that, and the other. But if you watch Shabazz Napier play basketball and you know anything or you're into any type of sports culture, and you see him with a $200, $300 pair of shoes on, and they change up every game, and it's not the team-issued shoe, do you then have to wonder how these guys are taking that check and spending it? And it's their money. They get the scholarship allotment. They can do what they want. If you choose to go out and buy 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9 pairs of shoes that are $1.50 a pop, and you want to have that because you want to change it up and have this swag on the court.
They pay for their living stipends.
That's what I'm saying. I just think I don't think it's a good thing for anybody, and I agree the NCAA needs to step in, because what happens eventually, okay, if you start paying them, then like you guys said, you're going to run into a thing where you get a guy like a Javon Carter or a guy like a Manziel who are doing more for your university, bringing more attention to it, but they're going to be paid the same as a second-team lineman. That's not going to sit well with any – it opens a whole
new book.
It's not
the second-team lineman. It's the women's cross-country runner
right.
you have to worry about.
Right.
So you're telling me that you think that a
that
guy –
That is a federal law, man.
It's Title IX.
But what I'm saying is you think that you're going to take a guy who – is up for the Heisman and all these awards. He's the face of your program, and you're going to pay him the same as you would be paying a second team lineman, and he's going to be okay with that. That's what I'm saying.
Listen, you know what you're getting into when you walk in. If you
absolutely.
Don't, if you don't want to go and walk out of school with a degree and also with no debt, then go play in Canada. Like, they know what they're getting into. So when they get into that position where they are a Heisman candidate, first of all, that has a lifetime of benefits.
Absolutely
man.
So you're getting paid on the back end.
Yeah,
that has a lifetime of benefits.
You get to live in the Heisman house.
And not only that, but like, you know, like look at a guy like Major Harris, for instance. Like, they teach you, like, when he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, he went through a course. When they bring him out there, he went through a course on how to make money from being a College Football Hall of Famer. Like, there's a lifetime of benefits to that. So I'm not buying that all of a sudden because you're a Heisman candidate, you should be making more.
No, I'm not saying that either. But what I'm saying is you're going to have – you know how kids are, dude?
You know what you're getting into.
You're going
to
have that.
If you want to get marketed, don't go play college football. Go do something else and then go to the NFL.
Okay,
let's
be honest. The NCAA needs to step in so they bring back NCAA football video games.
Yes, there you
go. So –
standing O, man.
Is that what it's about? Is
yes.
The
bring back college football. It was a holiday every July.
That's right.
You got it at midnight.
Crum still has a dynasty in there that he's played. He's in the year 2022 on NCAA football.
No, I'm in like
2030,
but I haven't played it for like a year.
It's still going, though. And
it's still going.
It's the one with Denard Robinson on the cover. I scouted it when I came down the steps.
All right, we're going to take a break. When we come back, Crum's got a trivia question for you. It'll be our Ever Athlete Question of the Week. And that number, jot it down, 1-304, or just 294-880. Again, that number is 304-729-4880. The first person to text in the correct answer wins the shirt. We got a lot of responses last week. We called everybody out is what
Did
it was.
We? Yeah. Good.
So we'll take a break, and when we come back, we'll do that. We'll do the question of the week, and we'll also kind of review a little bit of what happened in the NFL with our Mountaineers.
We'll be right back after this
word.
Son of a bitch!
The FloorCam is a revolutionary flooring installation tool. Its rust-free aluminum lightweight design ensures durability and portability, both integral to quick, flawless flooring installation. The FloorCam has no moving parts, which allows the device to easily withstand years of operation. No competitor tool is as durable, simple, or effective. The FloorCam will help you save time, money, and most importantly, help you achieve a beautiful finished product free of gaps.
Wally's and Wimpy's Sports Digest, a West Virginia legend for three decades, is back. Get the scores, the schedules, special features. Wally's and Wimpy's has everything you need to get ready for the big game. High school, college, and pro sports, it's all in there. The Mountaineers, the Thundering Herd, every NCAA Division I conference, the Mountain East Conference, the National Football League, we've got it. Go to WallyWimpySports.com to find out where you can pick it up and how you can get Wally's and Wimpy's delivered straight to your inbox. Wally's and Wimpy's Sports Digest, back and better than ever.
It's time once again, the 14th annual Guys Night Out, an event for guys organized by guys, a benefit for YWCA Sojourner Shelter. Guys Night Out is a football watching, pork eating, beverage drinking, extreme tailgating guy thing. On September 21st, watch the Mountaineers take on the Kansas Jayhawks. The event starts 2 hours prior to kickoff at Oaks Field in South Charleston. Guys Night Out Charleston.com or 304-205-6044. Special thanks to Onkova, BB&T Foundation, and the legendary Rock 105.
Now we're 4 points behind. We can push right past these guys, right?
Right. Yeah.
Now you don't sound very convinced. Come on, don't you guys have any pride?
Yeah.
Don't you have any guts at all?
Yeah.
All right then, get out there and get tough.
Yeah.
What do you mean?
Yeah.
These Cougars will be nothing but a furball when we get done with them.
Yeah.
Let's go eat some pussy.
Yeah.
Welcome back to the Section 304 Podcast. We're drinking beers and talking ears. Thanks for checking us out on SoundCloud, iTunes, and at Section304Podcast.com. All right. This is the Ever Athlete Trivia Question of the Week. If you know the answer, text the answer to 304-729-4880. Again, 304-729-8480. Let me give that to you again. 304-729-4880. All right, Crum. Last week, the question was, who was coaching NC State?
Lou Holtz.
When we played him in the Peach Bowl. Lou Holtz.
Lou Holtz.
Yes.
Lou Holtz.
I tell you, boys.
You got to have good special teams. So, this week, your
this
question.
Week, in honor of the punt block yesterday, I think if you've listened to the show for any extended period of time, you know I'm a huge special teams guy. The punt block yesterday was outstanding. Who blocked a punt and returned it for a touchdown in 1997 against Marshall? Opening game.
I remember that.
I do too.
Thud.
Mm-hmm.
Picked it up, ran it in.
Scoop and score.
Scoop and score, baby. That is your Ever Athlete.
Here's a clue. It was not Ira Aird Rodgers.
Oh, rat.
If you know the answer, text it in 304-729.
1919 Mountaineers somehow.
So, a lot of good things happened yesterday. So let's go ahead and do it.
It's time for the Beer of the Week award.
I feel like there's only one guy who can get it. It's got to be Sam James, doesn't it? $9.55, two scores. I mean, how do you not give it to Sam? There's a lot of other people that are worthy of it.
Big game.
You could certainly go with the Stills brothers. If my first thought this morning was to give it to my boy Ali, but I didn't do that because you can't ignore what Sam James did. And then you give Austin Kendall a Clooney shot.
Or a White Claw. If we haven't run out of those by now. I heard America's almost out of White Claws.
I had a White Claw yesterday, and I was told I had to give my man card back. But I'm going to let you know right now, it was refreshing.
I've never had a White Claw.
It was very good.
It was very good. I had one for, Saturday morning at like 3 a.m. I needed to hydrate before waking up.
Yeah, it's very good. It was delicious. It was a lime-flavored White Claw. Found it in the cooler, took it down. I also had some Natural Light seltzers yesterday. I had the
Natter Days.
Fuck.
Yeah, I had the Catalina.
Had Natter Days yet?
I had the Catalina lime mixer. It's the Natural Light seltzer. It's delicious.
We have to change our slogan to the Tampon Show.
Oh, say what you want, buddy. But
White Claws.
Say what you want, but it's a change of pace from the Miller Lights and the liquor that
and it hydrates
usually
you.
Consumed. Yeah, it's water. Very good.
All right, who's your White Claw of the week, Yos?
You know, I'll be honest, instead of going with players, I'm giving it to the coaching staff.
Mm-hmm.
This whole coaching staff, I mean, they kind of saved this.
That's you kissing ass.
Well, I mean, you can say it's kissing ass, but you just take a team. Let's be honest, Brown could have lost this team after Missouri. After Missouri thumping.
If he would have lost the team after Missouri, we may have had a bigger issue if a head coach.
Well, I mean, you don't think that's possible?
A new head coach losing his team after two games and you're 1-1?
Well, I mean, it's possible. With a group
is the
of
possibility
guys.
I mean, all the question marks that were going on.
Those aren't his guys.
Let's
lost
trade him. Yost for Barry.
All right, so he's giving it to the coaching staff.
There you go, Barry. That's yours.
Crum?
Oh, man. I'm going to give five out, and it's to the offensive line.
All right.
I mean, you had a bunch of guys out, well, two starters, and responded well. I mean, they've been called out for two straight weeks.
You think they sell White Claws in keg form?
Gibby's did have the hard seltzer
on
tap. Not Gibby's, Mario's fishbowl.
Lou, don't shake your head at this shit like you know what it's about. You going to be over at Allen's today? I'll bring you a claw.
No need.
I'll bring you a claw.
No laws when you're drinking White Claws, right?
Yeah, unless you've had a claw or any of these seltzers, you don't know shit about it. They're delicious. Barry was starting his day with the cran margaritas yesterday. It's just a refresher. It's to cleanse the palate before all the beers and the whiskeys.
This is brought to you by Tampax. All right, so I'm going to
the Lifetime Network.
Yeah, my beer of the week is going to go to. I'm going to go give mine to the NC State band for their little display of and celebrating our dislike for Pitt. So cheers to them.
Were you a band guy in high school?
I played in the stage band. Played
show tunes?
No, we played like jazz and stuff like
jazz?
That.
Jazz?
Yeah.
Did you have jazz
play
hands?
Any drums?
No, we sat in chairs and played.
What did you play?
I was a trombone player. Played the horns.
Rusty.
You knew that was coming.
Yeah.
Fucking guy.
All right, so the NFL, another day of the NFL. First and foremost, congratulations, Jeff Hostetler, nominated for the NFL Hall of Fame.
Absolutely.
I don't know if he'll get in anytime soon, but the nomination is the first step.
Hold on. You know who should be in the Hall of Fame that is a WVU alum? Fucking Chuck Halley.
Yeah.
That is a crime, man. You were talking about crimes against humanity. That is a crime against humanity that Chuck Halley is not in the NFL Hall
Chuck
of Fame.
Halley was a bad, bad man.
He was the anchor of Tom Landry's doomsday defense, won a Super Bowl, was a Super Bowl MVP on a losing team.
Yeah, the only person to ever do it.
Yeah.
It is a shame that Chuck Halley is not in the NFL Hall of Fame.
Is that our new campaign instead of getting a
we got Avon in.
Yeah.
Instead of getting a statue of kneeling out front, get a
Do we need an engineer?
Yes.
A noisy motherfucker. But yeah, Chuck Halley needs to be.
We could probably link up with the Cowboys podcast and really get this thing going.
Start that in. So also, too, NFL week, last week, Kazir White played well for the Chargers. Did you see his stats?
No.
I didn't see his stats, but I did get to see some of the game. I mean, he did look
good. He had nine tackles last week. Also, Carl Joseph.
He looked good against my Broncos, against the run.
He had eight tackles, led the team in tackles yesterday or last week. But
Worley's looking good out in Oakland, too.
Yeah. There's a few guys playing, and it looks like Bruce Irvin's going to be out again this week.
Yeah, what did David Long do last week?
I don't remember. My phone
beat
just
the
died.
Dog shit out of Cleveland.
Yeah, they curbed Cleveland.
I just mean
I don't think he played. Did he?
I don't know. He's on the Titans.
I mean, that's what I was asking.
Dog shit out of Cleveland.
I don't know if he was in there or not. I didn't get to really watch that game.
He didn't get a shot on Odell's watch. I know that.
$300,000 watch.
190.
So West Virginia's heading out to Kansas, first conference road game of the season. I'll be interested to see how West Virginia bounces back on a road trip. You know, we didn't have very much success last week. So West Virginia heads to Kansas. Kansas played well against BC. First time they won.
Shocker of the weekend for me.
Oh, yeah.
Was it the first time in like 18
since
years?
Since 08, they beat a Power 5 team on the road.
Didn't they just get beat by Coastal Carolina and then they come back and do that fucking damage?
That's the bounce back of the week right there is Kansas. Now, we've got them while they're hot. So is that going to be a problem for West Virginia? Two running backs went ape shit last week or this week for Kansas. So
they had about 600 yards of total offense. Over 300 of it coming on the ground between two gentlemen.
So what do you guys think this week, Crum?
We're going to win. We'll be 3-1. I'm feeling good.
You think we're going to Stormtrooper?
That I don't know.
Nah, I don't want to go Stormtrooper. Why? It's Kansas.
New refreshing white clean look.
When you change your look, it's supposed to mean something to
Maybe
me.
We go white blue.
Mm-hmm. Or blue, white, blue. I like that. I bet you we go blue, white, blue.
Yeah.
Maybe we go grays.
No, not on the road.
Why?
I just don't see him doing it on the road. Breaking out the gray uniforms first time on the road.
Why not?
Against Kansas?
Against Kansas? No. Okay,
what? Who cares?
They'll probably break them out versus Oklahoma. What do you think this week?
I think we win. I'll take us to win. I don't think we're going to blow them up. I think we'll win.
I think it'll be like yesterday, like 44-28 or something.
A lot of people are going to be disappointed. It's on ESPN+.
Yeah, good point.
Big 12 signed that deal.
Right, which I guess we opted out of it this year because of our deal with AT&T and everything else. But
it starts next year.
Starting next year, every team, every Big 12 team
with the exception of Texas and Oklahoma.
Yeah.
They don't do anything with ESPN+.
Your third tier plays on that platform, which means also, too, how do you get it on your television? Because it's a streamable.
You can get it on Fire Stick. You can do it on Fire Stick.
You get ESPN the app, and then you have to pay $49.99, I think, for the year. Which ESPN Plus, I got it when I bought that Diaz and Pettis. Well, Myokic and
also
Cormier
they hit you
fight.
For the $49.99 right up front.
No, you can pay $5 a month.
I bought a UFC fight, and I got it free for a year. Okay. But so far, in the 3-4 weeks I've had it, it's actually very, very solid. There's a lot of stuff on there. If you're into the NBA like I am, I watched all of Team USA's FIBA games are on there. Unfortunately, that ended badly.
The complete 30 for 30 library.
Yeah, the 30 for 30s are on there. If you're a soccer fan, they got a lot of soccer on there. They'll throw some baseball games on there. College baseball is very prevalent on there.
Okay.
As is women's volleyball. They have every Big 12 event you could possibly imagine.
It's if you're a sports fan, it's probably worth the $49.99 for the year. Like I said, I got it free when I bought the UFC fight. So far, I've not been upset about having it.
And DirecTV is probably going to lose ESPN and ABC and Disney at the end of the month.
Yeah, no, they're in a contract dispute.
They'll save it.
No, so, all right, Yost, what do you think? What do you think is going to happen?
I got us winning. I think we'll start off again a little slow, and then things will click again and we'll be fine. I like going in 3-1 into the off week before Kansas.
Yeah. I like West Virginia next week.
Off week before Texas, isn't it?
Huh?
So off week before Texas.
I like West Virginia next week. I think we should be able to slow down their running game. I don't know if their quarterback could beat you, although he had good numbers this week. But, I'd like to go back and watch that because I've been under the impression leading into the season that BC was going to be one of the top four teams in the ACC, and they clearly got curb stomped.
Who's going to have the bigger head, us or Kansas?
I would say Kansas.
You think so?
Because mm-hmm. I think West Virginia knows what they are.
I don't think.
Well, Kansas didn't know what they were on Friday night because I thought they were terrible, and that's what they had looked like all year so far.
Yeah, I think. But when you go out and you beat the shit out of a team on the road, I think you're floating a little bit. I think West Virginia – I think what you saw yesterday out of West Virginia is what West Virginia is. for the season.
It's just going to be interesting again. Like this week, how we responded to getting our ass kicked. How do we respond to playing very well?
Yeah, I agree. Well, we're going to dip out of here. Did we miss anything? Got the predictions in, got the beer of the week. We got it all in this week.
Got anything, Diddy?
I got nothing.
No, let's not do that. How about the statute of limitations has run out on that?
It's a war crime.
And I can trade in going to the 0-1 Temple game and
I was at the 0-1 Temple game.
At the Navy game in 99.
Did you deep fry that bird with us in 0-1?
No.
Where were you at? And your balls off?
I was, but I don't know where.
Different time in your life. Yes. You were doing different things.
Yeah,
let's just put it there. Deep frying the bird with us.
No.
And drinking heavily. I fell down the steps that game. It was icy up in the deck.
That was a metaphor for the whole game.
We still went up the deck. We still went in the upper deck where the students were supposed to sit. And, dude, it was fucking God.
You
it
fall
was
all the time in that stadium.
Not really. I think
you fell 2 years ago into those troopers.
There's been about four times I thought, yeah, I did. But I got. How I was
did you not, how did you not get a free night of room and board in Doddridge County for falling on a bunch of troopers?
It wasn't I was inebriated, but it wasn't like I wasn't sloppy. I literally just overstepped. Like I was turned talking, and I was going to step, and I overstepped one. When I overstepped it, when I caught myself, I kind of caught myself on his chest. Like I stiff arm.
They love when you put your hands.
Were you
on
like
them?
Sorry, sir?
I was like, man, my bad. I stepped long. I was like, I was turned around. I was turned around talking. I was like, my bad. I didn't mean to. And he was like, it's all right. Something's you good? And I said, yeah, I'm good. I got nothing else.
All right. Well, thank you guys for checking out the show this week.
Oh, wait. Do you want to tell him? I don't know if that event Saturday's.
I almost forgot. My phone died, so my notes are gone. Don't forget this Saturday, the 21st, Guys Night Out at Oaks Field. If you're in the Charleston area and you're listening, go and check that out. It's an event for the YWCA Sojourners, and you can get your tickets at Charleston. It's guysnightoutcharleston.com, and they're running the bro special. It's a bring a bro is what they're calling it. It's two tickets for $100. You get all the food. They're roasting. They start roasting a pig the night before. Beer, all the beer you can handle, all the food you can handle. And at halftime, they have the best wings in the Valley contest. About 20 to 25 wing vendors show up. So
are they tuned into the situation with the...
I tuned them in. I text some of the powers to be immediately when they announced it. I figure what they're going to have to go out and do is get a bunch of
You know who's going to get a lot of angry emails on Saturday night? The athletic department.
Yeah. Well, that's not their fault.
It's not their fault, but they're going to fucking hear about it.
Yeah, that'll be – I'm trying to think. We'll have to fill that. Matt Wells, Matt, probably.
That's just the way that it's all going now. Like, even with UFC, it's all – you have to – anything with UFC is you purchase it through ESPN Plus and it's streamed to that. Like, pay-per-views aren't on DirecTV anymore. Boxing is the only one. And even boxing's got DAZN or whatever, which is an app that you get on a Fire Stick or an Apple TV.
No one watches
boxing anymore.
We live in a Napster society where everyone thinks that everything is supposed to be free and you have to pay for content. So starting next week, I'm going to start charging you dickheads $4 to download this show.
Mm. Oh, that's not good for the numbers, Lou.
Maybe 99 cents, and then let it add up. See what
but,
we
yeah,
can get.
Even podcasts are going to it. What's that
Patreon?
Platform? Patreon.
Yeah.
I'm a Patreon subscriber to a podcast.
Yeah, see? You're paying for play. That's how...
It's the dad boner one. If you guys aren't listening to that, you should. It's fucking classic. That dude is hilarious.
Well, you sent that. I've got to still check that out.
You need to check it out, man.
All right. I'm heading out. It's NFL time. Thank you guys for downloading the show for 99 cents. We'll send you a bill.
Go Big Blue.